You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Come with me, if you will, to Psalms 103. We started Sunday on and I don't normally do a series from Sunday into Wednesday, but Resurrection Sunday's coming up. We're going to teach on Resurrection this coming Sunday. And I didn't get through with Psalms 103 Sunday. And generally, if your Wednesday night crowd has been here on Sunday. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. But your Sunday night crowd is not always there on Wednesday. Sunday morning crowd is not always there on Wednesday. That makes sense. So I figured most of y'all probably heard the first part of this message, Psalms 103. We taught on the first five verses about the benefits of God serving God. You know, it's interesting that you can go two ways with that. You can just say, well, we shouldn't be thinking about all the benefits, and then you get into just false piety and false humility, and God really can't use you in a lot of areas because you won't let Him bless you because you don't think He wants to. And then you can get on the other side of that things where all you're just doing is just looking at getting something out of the whole deal, and you know, you lust after things instead of loving God. So there's two imbalances there. One imbalance is that God wants you poor. The other imbalance is that all God's interested in is prospering you. Actually, what we're about is getting people saved and getting people walking the Christian life. And as a benefit of that, you do prosper and you get healed. But our main function, our main purpose as a church is get people saved, obviously. And then, of course, get them filled with the Holy Ghost and get them instructed on how to live the Christian life. And then benefits from that are prosperity and healing and joy and all those things. See, those are byproducts. Those are products of living right, products of believing God, products of being a Christian. So they're there. They're real. We just don't make those the aim. Does that make sense? We're not trying to get people, listen, we're not trying to get people out of poverty. We're trying to get poverty out of people. Right. Does that make sense? We're not trying to get people out of depression. We're trying to get depression out of people. Right. You get depression out of people, joy will come. Hallelujah. Yeah. You get poverty out of people, prosperity will come. So, you know, that's what Jesus does. You know, man would take man out of the slums. Christ would take slums out of man. Yeah. And so, you know, our main thrust, of course, is as it starts out here in Psalms 103, verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all those in me, bless His holy name. He's got to be first in everything. But he goes on, he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. It does pay to serve God. So we're not without help and hope and healing. We're not without a cure here. God does care. And He does want us to prosper. And He does want us to be healed. He does want us to have peace. He does want us to have joy. But those are products of serving Him. Those are byproducts, as they were, results, not means, as it were. The way to get there is by putting God first, trusting Him, believing Him, putting our faith in Him, and then as a product of that, we prosper and we have joy. Woohoo! Amen. Are you with me? So I believe in prosperity, and I believe in healing, and I believe in joy, all those things. But the thrust of the church, get people saved. Because why would we preach that without Jesus? Jesus is what we preach, or whom we preach, and living the Christian life, which leads us into prosperity, leads us into joy, and leads us into peace. Glory. It'll get the poverty out of you. It'll get the depression out of you. Hallelujah. It'll get the sickness out of you. Glory. So it pays to serve Him, and He lists several things in those first five verses we went over Sunday. And those benefits, some of those benefits are, third verse, who forgives all your iniquities. It doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done. He forgives all your iniquities. Everybody say all. Okay. How many of you believe that? I believe that. But it also says He heals all your diseases. Are there some that are just beyond His help or beyond His healing power? No. There's no sin beyond His ability to forgive. There's no sickness beyond His ability to heal. You say, well, why would you say a thing like that? Well, I didn't. He did. You saying you believe that? Well, I'm saying I believe what He said. You have to make your choice whether you believe what He said or not, but that's what He said. And He says he said don't forget these benefits, so we might have a tendency to do so, and I believe we have in many cases forgotten some of the benefits of serving God. You know, I'm not just serving God so He can beat on me and squish me like a bug and wring me out. I'm serving God because it's better to serve God than it is not serve God. it's better to serve God and have love, joy, and peace in heaven at the end of this road than it is to go through hell on this earth and wind up in hell when I die. Are you with me? You might say that's self-centered or selfish. Well, maybe my motives weren't pure when I got saved, but I was lost before I got saved. How about you? Who came to God with pure motives? Was anybody a saint before they got saved? I wasn't. I was going to hell. I knew I was going to hell. I found I didn't have to. I found out God loved me and He didn't hate me, and I could accept Him and miss hell, and the fear could go, and my future could be secured. God, praise God. Hallelujah. So I did serve Him for a benefit, but the benefits come from His character and His nature and who He is. I think sometimes we get confused in Christianity. Well, we have these platitudes and Christian sayings sometimes, and they sound good. You know, we should seek Him for His face and not for His hand and so on, and that sounds real good. But how could you seek God's face and not get His hand? In other words, you can't. It's like God saying, just serve me, I'm not going to help you, I'm not going to bless you, I'm not going to heal you, I'm not going to get you up on your feet again, but you just serve me because I said so. First of all, He didn't say that. He said, if you serve me, I will bless you. I didn't say, He said that. He put the carrot on the stick. He's the one who said, don't forget His benefits. He said, honor your parents that you may live long. He said, if you serve me, I'll bless your bread and water and take all sickness away from the midst of you. He said, choose life in Deuteronomy 30:19. He's the one that said that. Now, seeking His face, His hand goes with His face. The danger is, yes, seeking the thing above Him. That's a danger, I understand that. But if you seek Him, you're going to get all that He is. He is the healer. He is the life giver. He is the forgiver. He is the peace giver. So if you go after Him, that's going to come along. To say we shouldn't be concerned about all that is to say God doesn't know what He's talking about. God is concerned about it, and God made a lot of provisions for it, and God gave us a lot of promises concerning it, and God gave us a tremendous amount of instruction so we could walk in life and walk in health and walk in peace and have a good family. Hallelujah. Glory. Man, I like this funeral today with Reggie. Thank God I can stand here. Thank God I can tell Donna Gail and Regina and Robert. Thank God they know that there is a heaven, hallelujah, that Reggie is in. There is hope after this life. We're stepping off into glory when we leave here. Right. We got some promises. Praise God, I believe them. Amen. It pays to serve God. I mean, Reggie stepped off into glory. That's right. Woo! That's what God says. I believe it. I know He did too. Yes. He really knows it now. Praise God. So He forgives our iniquities. He heals our diseases. He redeems our life from destruction. He crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. He satisfies our mouth with good things so that our youth are renewed like the eagles. Hallelujah, somebody. He satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth are renewed like the eagles. There's a connection between your confession and your renewed youth. Amen? With the good things that He satisfies your mouth with, He stretches your life out and makes it good. Glory to God. Those are benefits. That's what He says, don't forget. Don't forget them. Now, don't go around saying, it just doesn't matter. I don't need to be thinking about all those. No, He says, you better make sure you think about them, because if you don't, you will forget them. So we should think on the fact that it pays to serve God. We should think like Peter, when Jesus asked him, when everybody left Jesus, He said, where are you going to go? Will you go? He said, where am I going to go? You've got the words of eternal life. We should think on the fact that it pays to serve God. This is the best thing I ever did when I turned my life over to Jesus. It's the best thing that happened to me and to my family and to my future. It is the best thing that happened to me to my mind. Are you with me? It settled my mind. It settled my focus and my thinking. It gave me a future and a hope. Hallelujah. There's nothing better than serving God. You say, you've gave up so much. Yes, I've given up jails and drugs and given up car wrecks. And I've given it all up for Jesus. I gave up waking up not knowing where I was the next morning. But you know, I gave it all up for Jesus. I gave up spending all my money on acting crazy and drugs and everything on the weekend, you know. Oh, yeah, I gave it all up for Him.
Praise God.
What did I give up? I got joy. I got peace. I got purpose. I got a family. I got hope. I'm telling you what, I got more than I ever had before I got saved. And you know, I have challenges, and sure, there's tragedy, and sure, there's you know, circumstances and opportunities to give up, but I have a hope when those things happen. When the battle starts raging, I know I'm going to win. I know the outcome. I know how to fight this thing. I want to believe God and pray, and He's going to come through. He always has, and He always will. There are benefits to serving God. Wouldn't have it any other way. Wouldn't give nothing for my journey now. No song goes. I'm not going to sing it. Oh. Sixth verse. He goes from talking about the benefits, you know, of just flat out benefits from serving God, you know, forgiveness and healing and redemption and loving kindness, tender mercy, good things, renewed youth. And he says, he makes a little shift here and talks about the Lord. And he says, the Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. I love that. You know, we're living in a day where people feel like they're in a box. I know we get nothing but negative news, it seems like, over the airways. Doesn't matter what channel you watch. Doesn't matter what news channel you watch. It just seems to be all negative about the economy, negative about the oil prices, negative about what's going on around the world, the Muslim world. You're just inundated with negativity. Are you with me? You're inundated with fear. Jesus talks about even in the last days that men's hearts will fail them for fear of the things that are coming upon the earth. Now, men's hearts are not going to fail them because of things come upon the earth. Men's hearts fail them because of fear of the things come upon the earth. But the good news is when you get in the Word, you find out that it doesn't matter what the world is saying. It doesn't matter, you know, that feeling of oppression, that feeling of, man, taxes are going higher, gas is going higher. This is the government we're talking about. IRS says this, the government says this, and OPEC sets these prices. And, man, we're just boxed in here. There's just nothing we can do. Listen, the Bible says that the Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. Let the government oppress me if they want to. The Lord will execute righteousness and judgment on my behalf. God will vindicate me. God will supply my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God will make sure I'm okay and I make it. I just need to keep my face in His face. I need to keep my faith in His Word. Are you with me? I need to start listening to this news. You know, turn that TV off from time to time. Instead of listening to all that bad news, get your nose in a book and get the good news. Hallelujah. Are you with me? God says, and this is a benefit, this is what God does, this is what He specializes in, He vindicates us, He executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. You ever felt oppressed? In this world, in this age that we're living in, have you ever felt a little boxed in maybe with the economy and what's going on with the government, what's going on with health care, what's going on with the oil prices, what's going on in the Muslim world? You ever felt that way? You ever heard those news reports and feel, man, this isn't just right, and you get all worked up, and I'm stressed out. I mean, if you're not careful, it'll get all over you. But see, God vindicates us. God executes righteousness for all of us who are oppressed. Hallelujah. And so I don't have to worry about that stuff. My trust is in Him. I live in this world. I live in this country. I'm aware of what goes on. But my faith is in God. Hallelujah. He split the Red Sea for the children of Israel. They had the whole Egyptian army and the Pharaoh coming down on them fast. God put a wall up between them and split the Red Sea, and they crossed by the Red Sea by dry land and then drowned the whole Egyptian army. Now, how big is your problem? Good question. Woo. Let's don't forget His benefits here. Don't forget who we are. Man, I'm a Christian. How about you? Yeah. I'm a believer. No, I mean, I work. I do all those things in budget. And, you know, we use wisdom. But I tell you what, my trust is in God. Yes, after I've done all I can do, He'll do the rest. Yeah. Hallelujah. Well, I've just done everything I can do, and it's just not enough. Well, hey, God's enough. God's enough. God will execute righteousness for me, and He'll execute justice for me. Hallelujah. Seventh verse. He made his ways known to Moses, His acts to the children of Israel. What a perfect example of what He did with the children of Israel in the wilderness. We're talking about a couple of million people had to be fed every day. Had to have water every day, food every day. He rained down manna from heaven. He brought water out of a rock. Now, I think it's fascinating the way it breaks that down. It says He made known His ways to Moses and His acts to the children of men. Now, they were all aware of what He was doing. They all knew His acts. But Moses was one of the few that knew how and why He was doing it. He knew God's ways, the way God did things. They just knew he did things. Sometimes we can fall into that trap. We can be in church and serve God, and you know, but not really trust him as we should. We're aware of testimonies that take place. We hear about them, and we're there. We see the acts of God in the church. We're not really aware of how he does those things. See, that's kind of the state of Israel at that time. God was blessing them. God was feeding them supernaturally. He was watering them supernaturally. Brought quail at one point out of heaven, you know. And they'd cross that Red Sea by dry land. They saw, they experienced all that, but they didn't know how it happened. I think sometimes we're that way as Christians. We know God can, and we've seen God do it, but we don't know how to make it happen again, you know. We don't know how. We don't know his ways. But see, Moses knew his ways. I'd a whole lot rather be in Moses' shape here so we could reproduce this thing again next time I have a need than just be in the Israel shape where we're just kind of, you know, at random here. We don't know what's going to happen. We can't make it happen. We can't get in line with what happens because we don't know why it happened. But Moses, on the other hand, knew how. He knew why. He knew his ways. Hebrews talks about this in the third chapter, and he says they couldn't enter into the promised land because of unbelief. That's interesting. Because what he was saying was that God's ways, he repeated this verse incidentally in Hebrews 3. What he was saying was that God does what he does by faith. God's ways are ways of faith. That's why he does what he does. That's how he does what he does. Now, if you're around that environment, you can see those things happening. You may not necessarily be the one believing, but someone's believing, and that's why it's happening. Are you with me? But I'd a whole lot rather be a part of why it's happening, be participating in what's happening, be one of those believing, and know his ways, and not just his acts. So these benefits that he has, even when you think about all these things he does, what's the way he does them? He does them by us believing him, trusting him, standing on his word. I mean, that's a whole other sermon in and of itself in Hebrews, the third chapter, when he recounts how that the children of Israel rebelled against him in the wilderness, and he says, they did not know my ways. And I was grieved with that nation. I said, they shall not enter in. And he says, they shall not enter in because of their unbelief. And he goes on in the fourth chapter, Hebrews, first verse, he says, tells us to be cautious or beware, lest a promise of entering into his, a promise of entering into his rest, any of us should seem to come short of it. Everybody say, come short of it. How do you come short of a promise? How do we come short of entering into a promise? We know all these things God does, but do we know how he does them? Do we know the way he does them? Well, sometimes we come up short on a promise. The promise is there. God said it, but it's not happening. Are you out there? Well, you know, Hebrews 4:1 says that we need to be careful. We need to beware. Lest we come short of a promise. And he goes in the second verse and he says this. He says, for the gospel, the good news was preached to them as well as unto us. But the good news did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Wow, there it is. There it is. That's the whole thing right there, isn't it? What was the problem? They didn't mix faith in with what God said. God was trying to move, trying to do things, but see, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it, the word did not profit them. Sometimes the word doesn't profit us because we don't mix faith in with it. We've got more faith in the news than we do God's word. Are you with me? We've got more faith in our experiences than we do God's word. We got more faith in man's wisdom than we do in God's wisdom. Hallelujah. I don't want to get there. No. I don't want to just say, well, I know God can if he wants to. No. I want to say God wants to, God can, and God will. Yes. That's what I want to say. See, that's what's wrong with the children of Israel. They knew God could, but then they'd say things like Psalm 78 talks about the wilderness experience, and it says, they said, can God supply a table in the wilderness? Can God? That's the way they talked. I don't want to be a can God. I want to be a can God. A God can. Yeah. Amen? I want to be a he can. He can. God can and God will. Glory to God. Well, see, Moses understood that. He understood his ways. Difference between ways and acts. You can be around the things of God and not know why they happen. Did you know a lot of people that way? I've been that way before. How about you? Seen God working, really don't know why, you know. But I want to know why. I want to be able to continue that process. I want to be cooperating with God so that I'm believing and trusting Him and operating in His ways so He can continue to do what He wants to do. You know, God wants to save everybody, but not until you accept Jesus will He do it. That's the way. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So there's understanding that God maybe wants to save everybody, but how? What's the way? By trusting on Jesus, see? And you can see people saved, but you won't be saved until you figure out how. Until you realize Jesus is the way. That you accept Him and receive Him. That's what we've done, all of us here tonight, I'm sure, have done that. We've got into His ways, and then the product of that was the blessing. We learn how we're supposed to live, and the product of that was prosperity. Woo! This is better preaching you are, amen. Yeah. Glory. So, He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. I love that. That's a revelation sometimes we don't have. Sometimes we think God's a little half mad at us, you know? And we don't really deserve this, don't really deserve that. Well, listen, we all deserved hell. If you're going to go down that road, we don't deserve anything. But Jesus paid a price for us, so we did deserve, so we could deserve heaven, so we could deserve healing, so we could deserve peace. You say, yeah, I've done this and I've done that. Well, repent. If you repent, God will forgive you. He forgives all your iniquities. You know what? You're back at square one again, and you're worthy because of His blood. The Lord is merciful. Come on, let's don't forget that. God's merciful. That's good stuff. He is gracious. He is slow to anger. He is abounding in mercy. Yeah, but you don't know what I've done. No, I don't, but God does. God knows, and God still loves you. Wow. Yeah, but you don't... I don't know. You're right. In fact, if I knew, I may not like you at all, but God knows it and still loves you. Doesn't really matter about me. What matters is what God thinks about it. And He's merciful and gracious, slow to anger, full of mercy. Woo. Man, I could think of things I've done that would disqualify me, but you know what? It's under the blood. Hallelujah. Amen. It's washed away. I repented. I accepted Jesus. It's gone. I'm not that person anymore. I'm not what I did yesterday even. This is a new day. Hallelujah. Man, it's a focus, isn't it? I mean, really, you know, we get so out of focus. We get back on me. You know, back on me. Everybody, start looking at yourself. Well, start looking at God. This is not about you except to the extent that God loves you and He's for you and He wants to bless you. It's about Him and who He is. Don't forget His benefits. These are His benefits. This is what He'll do for you if you're focusing on Him. I may not finish this thing tonight. I don't know. Good stuff nonetheless. Amen?
Amen.
So the Lord is merciful. He's gracious. He's slow to anger and He's abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us. Now, you say, well, you know, I know this has happened because of some sin I committed. Well, sure, there's results and consequences of your sin. I understand that. But if you repent of it, it's over.
Amen.
The only striving we're having with God is we had repented. Nor will He keep His anger forever. His anger is contingent on our repentance.
Yeah.
Say what? Hey, let me help you out here. Go read your Bible every once in a while, okay? When people repented, He was not mad at them. Actually, He loved them even when they were sinning. The judgment that was on their life because of their sin was lifted when they repented. How many times He said He's going to destroy a city? They repented, He lifted up His... He didn't destroy it. He sent a prophet to Hezekiah and said, this day you're going to die. Hezekiah hit his knees, and God said to the prophet, He said, you turn around and go back, tell him I gave him 15 more years.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
What happened to the judgment? What happened to the anger? Okay. He repented. As soon as he repented, God said, okay, fine, that's all I'm wanting. That's all I need, you know. Because his sin brought the judgment, not God. The sin brought the judgment. God had to honor His Word, and His Word says if you go sin, you're going to be judged.
Yeah.
You jump off a roof, you hit ground, that's called gravity. Hello. We often blame God about judgment. Judgment is just a result of sin. That's all it is. God made the rules, yes, and he's the judge, yes, and he has to keep the rules, no doubt, but he would love to overrule all of his judgment with mercy.
That's right.
Mercy rejoices over judgment, the Bible says, and he doesn't abound in judgment, he abounds in mercy.
Right.
And anytime you ever repent of anything you ever done, it's over, rover. And life comes again. Joy comes again. And that's what he says. He said he will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. Hallelujah, somebody.
Amen.
Man, I deserved hell, and everything came with it. And I guess everybody in here did. You know, but what? You know what happened? I gave it all up. I just turned my life over to Jesus and repented of my life, and he washed me clean, and now I'm going to heaven because of what Jesus did. I repented of all that. I repented of that life. I died. That old man died. I got saved. You are saved, aren't you? Okay. Hallelujah. Well, he says this. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. Why? Because we repented of him. That's why. Because we came to him and we asked forgiveness from him. We found out his ways. That's the way we get out of our sin. That's the way the promises come to pass. That's the way God works, as we call on him and as we believe him, as we trust him, repent of our sin. See, understand God's ways. Well, all this stuff's happening, you never know what the Lord's going to do. Oh yeah, we know exactly what God's going to do. We're the flaky ones. We're the ones we don't know what's going to happen next. But God, we know exactly what God's going to do. God's going to do his word is what he's going to do. And the sooner we wake up to what God's doing in his ways and his word, the better our life is going to be. Because God rules by principle, pure and simple. God is a very principle-centered God. God is good and he won't violate that. God's holy and he won't violate that. God will do what he says and he won't violate that. Principles rule. You know, we say God rules, but actually God made the principles, yes. And so in essence you would say God rules, but the principles rule. By God, hate people, people are going to hate me. That's a principle. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. You can't violate that principle. I go plant watermelons in the ground, watermelons come up. I can plant watermelons in the ground and stand there and confess oranges over them all day long. But if I plant watermelon, the principle of sowing and reaping demands that watermelons come back up. I can't confess my way out of a situation I behaved my way into. That's better preaching, y'all are amening. But if I change the behavior, I change the seed I'm planting, I can change the harvest. Hallelujah. That's the principles of God. If I repent of my sin, it X's it out. It washes it out. Hallelujah. If I repent, if I ask God forgiveness, and that stops it. That's the principle God operates by. Principles rule. And we can say all day long, God's bringing this on me, God's doing this. Well, that's his will, but you've got to cooperate with the will. You've got to operate in the principles. Principles rule. You know, we often think about control in our lives, or even God controlling our life. I think both are wrong, scripturally speaking. Really, what controls our life are the principles that God instituted. And God gave us a whole book full of principles here, and rules and promises and instructions and so on and so forth. And if we'll obey these instructions, they will rule our lives. If we determine to love, then love will bring us a good outcome and a great marriage and a great life. If we go and live our life giving, the principle of giving to people, did you know it'll come back to us? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give to our bosom. That's a principle that rules our life. We don't necessarily rule our life. We have this thing called a choice, but the principle rules. Y'all out there? And there's no crash courses on this deal. You can't just, you know, I think, you know, when you in college and you've got a test coming up tomorrow, you just cram the night before. But a farmer can't cram the night before harvest. If he hadn't planted months before and he hadn't, you know, tilled up the ground months before and he hadn't watered and done all the months before, then harvest time doesn't come. He can't jump some steps. I think sometimes we try to jump step. But if we'll do what God says and we'll obey God, those principles will rule our lives. Hallelujah. That's good stuff. That's really good stuff. That's something to chew on, think about. You say, I just control my destiny. Well, I decide my destiny per se, but principles control my destiny. the ones that God, principles that God made, principles that God instituted. Now, you can't say God predestined me to make the choice, because that wouldn't be my choice at all. So, and ultimately, God didn't decide I'd turn out bad, or God didn't decide I'd turn out good. God decided if I did certain things that I would turn out good, and He decided if I did certain things I'd turn out bad. Because those principles He made make us. But I can start working with them instead of against them and have the outcome He really wants me to have. Isn't that right? He wants me to have a good life. He wants me to go to heaven. He wants me to have a good marriage. He wants me to have peace. He wants me to have joy. And He gave me principles here to bring that to pass. If I violate those principles, no, I'm not going to have a good marriage. I'm going to have a bad one. Or I'm going to have depression instead of peace. But it's not, you can't blame God. God made the principle. He told me which one to go with. Told me how to operate in it. But you cannot do good and have bad come, and you cannot do bad and have good come.
Amen.
Because God made the principle. Y'all out there?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's what Paul's talking about in Romans. He says, you know, we say to the Lord, why have you made me this way? You know, why have you done this to me? Basically saying, why can't I do good and have bad outcome? Why can't I do bad and have bad? Why can't I give you glory by doing bad things? Well, God didn't make the world that way. He made the world that you can only give Him glory if you do good things.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Why can't I have a blessed life and not obey God? Because the principles He made. You can't hate people and have love come back to you.
Yeah.
It just won't work that way. So while we have the Bible, so we know what the principles are. This is the instruction book. That's why He says, love your neighbor. He says, forgive. He says, be kind, be tenderhearted, give, be merciful. Why? Because they rule. God's saying, look, I made all these laws, all these rules. I will not violate them. I will not retract them. I made them for your benefit. Here's how I want you to work them, so they'll work for you, and you'll have a good life. You violate these things, it's going to hurt you. Curse is going to come. I don't want you cursed. I want you to be blessed.
That's good.
So do these things, you'll be blessed. Woo!
Yeah.
That's good stuff. As the heaven, 11th verse, for as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward those who fear Him. I like that, fear Him. See, there's a condition right there. His mercy is for those who fear Him. You've got to fear God. You've got to put Him first in your life. You've got to respect Him and have a reverence for Him, have an awe of Him, or you know, there's no great mercy coming to you. If you have no concept of God or no focus on God or no thought of God, well, obviously there's no mercy. But as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward those who fear Him. I fear God. I'm not scared of them. East Texas scared, you know. But I fear God. I fear God. I don't think that God appeared right now. I'd just be standing there being chummy with Him. I'd probably fall on my face, you know.
Wouldn't we all?
I mean, we'd like to say, you know, I'd just stand right there, bless God, look Him right in the eye and say, thank you, Jesus. Well, I know He'll be picking me up off the ground, okay? And He'll pick me back up and He'll stand me up. I know He will, and He will look me in the eye. But you've never been around anything like God. You've never been in there. Nowhere in the Bible did they ever stand flat-footed with God.
Yes.
When God would appear, they would just die. I mean, the breath would leave their bodies, and they'd hit the ground. And the Spirit of God would have to pick them up. Because you've never been in that kind of power, that presence, that... You've never been in front of anything that real in your life. Never, ever. Never seen anything real like that. You never seen any sci-fi effect, any movie, nothing they've ever done with any computer that would even come close to the whole overwhelming experience in feeling, in sight, in smell, in your heart at the presence of God. Too real. Too real. That's why flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom. It cannot. This corruptible is going to have to put on incorruption. This mortal is going to have to put on immortality because you couldn't stand in that kind of power, that kind of presence. And we know that because it's happened all through the Bible. He's appeared, even angels sometimes. And men and women, they just fall out. Fall out. Prophets. The breath would leave their body and they'd fall like a dead man, is what it says. But now, having said that, he loves us and he's for us. We have no, even in, see, we just see God as power and it just overwhelms us and we just collapse in the midst of it. And God will stand us back up, but he does that because he's not just power. He's not just reality. He's not just overwhelming, you know, presence. He's love. And he's mercy. And he'll pick us back up and stand us up there and look us in the eye. Are you with me? I love that. I just love that. When I think about that. Even in my natural, as much as I know about God, been serving God and pastoring, reading, studying, all that, I know I'd be overwhelmed by his presence. I know he'd still pick me back up and say, oh, get over it. Come on, I love you. Wow. Because he's more than power. See, that's it. That's kind of the way we look at him. Just power. No, he's more than power. He's love. He's mercy. His mercy, he abounds in mercy. His mercy is everlasting and everlasting. Amen?
Amen.
And he says this in the 11th verse. He says, "For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west." I love that distinction because north and south have stopping points, you know. But you have a pole, north pole, south pole. But west, east, west has no, there's no reference. You cannot stop anywhere and says this is as far as you can go west. You can head west, young man, and you can go west the rest of your life and retrace your steps and still head west. You can head east and do the same thing. It never stops. You're always going east. But one day, if you go north, you'll hit the pole and you'll be headed south again. I think there was a concept here of maybe the earth. Are you with me when this is written? Interesting. Something to think about. Amen. But he says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. See, it's just the devil that brings that back up. Because God's removed it. When that sin comes back that you repented of already 100 times, know this, if that first time you really repented, it was gone right then. And you've been wasting your breath and your time all those other times you've been repenting. And at some point you got to stop and say, you know what, I believe God meant what he said and I believe it's gone. It's gone, hallelujah. He's removed it from me. Man, I can think about things I did and feel bad. Have you ever done that? I can think about things I did 30 years ago, 20 years ago, that I've repented of over and over. But if I stop and think about it, I go, man, I wish I could change that. Well, you can't change. You can't unscramble eggs. You can't undo the past. It's done. It's over.
That's right.
You can repent. Did you do that? Oh, yeah, 100 times I repented. Well, the first time you did, if you really meant it, it's gone. So let's go forward. Let's quit meditating on that. Yeah, but I just had it. Well, see, God didn't have a problem with it. He removed it.
Amen.
It's almost like, you know, if you say, God, do you remember that? He says, no, I don't remember that at all. I forgave you that long, long time ago. Don't even remember the details of it. It's gone. Washed away in the blood. It's gone.
Praise God.
What are you doing living in the past? I forgave you of that. The devil just keeps bringing it up, keeps bringing it up. Man, we live so low. We really do. We live so below our privileges and our rights and our benefits in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
We live so below and beneath what God has provided for us through his death, burial, and resurrection. What Jesus did on the cross 2,000 years ago, it's amazing what we put up with and live with, and he paid for it.
Yeah.
And we're still dragging that thing along with us. You know, I've heard that example, people going to the altar, you know, God, forgive me this, God, you know, throw all that stuff on the altar, you know, and tie that up real good with a string and put it over the shoulder and take it off and go back home with it.
That's right. Yep.
Oh, come on, leave it. Just leave it there.
Amen.
He wants to take it away. Hallelujah. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Well, that's a long ways, east from the west. Man, that's as far as you can get, isn't it? In fact, they never meet. That's how far away they are. You can never go east and ever wind up going west. You will always be going east. You can never go west and ever wind up going east. You will always be going west. So they are, it's impossible for them to ever meet. That's what God is saying, as far as they are apart, which is they never meet. That's how far He's removed our transgressions from us. They are gone.
Amen.
That sin you committed is gone. Hallelujah. Why do you keep bringing it up? Why does everybody else keep bringing it up? Why does the church keep bringing it up?
That's right.
Oh, come on. That's not what the church is about. Church is a place for you to come and get help and get hope and get healing, get a cure, you know. I'm not interested in what you did 20 years ago or even last week. If you want to come repent, we'll take you as you are right now. Come on.
Right.
We can start a whole new life right now. This could be the first day of the rest of your life. We can go forward.
Yeah.
Woo! Man, that's where I'm going.
Amen.
I'm going forward. And I'm not backing into my future. I'm looking into my future.
Amen.
I'm not going to turn around and look at all my past and back into my future. Oh, that past is over. I'm going forward. Too many things to do. Amen?
Amen.
Too many things hadn't been done yet.
Amen.
Too many things God wants us to do.
Amen.
To be dwelling on the past. So, thank God. And he says this, he says, as a father, 13th verse, as a father pities his children. Do you love your children? Mm-hmm. I know I do. So the Lord pities those who fear him. I want the best for my kids. I want the best for my grandkids. I mean, you know, it never stops. Let me tell you something. It never stops. You know, you have kids, and then they have kids, and you think, man, you're just giving all your love away when those, you know, kids grow up. And then those grandkids come along, and you find out, wow, you had got love you never thought you had. Are you with me? You're thinking, whoa, did I really love my kids this much? I guess I did. I don't know. But, whoa, man, I love these grandkids, you know, and it just keeps growing, and you just love, you do anything for them, you know, and you believe in them, and you want them to be successful, and you want them to do their best, and you're proud of them when they succeed. You're frustrated when they don't because you love them so much.
Amen.
But you do anything to help. You do anything for them. Come on, I mean, what kind of dad, mom are you if you wouldn't do anything for your kids? I'd do anything for my kids.
That's right.
You should. Everybody should. But God, now, He's better than that. You ever forgive your kids?
Mm-hmm.
How many times? Are you with me? Oh, come on. You know what I'm talking about. We all had kids.
Yeah.
Have they just been perfect little angels? Of course not. Oh, are you kidding me? I could talk about Jonathan on his front row. I'm talking about when they're little. I'm talking about when they're grown, whatever. You know, you forgive them. They're your kids. Come on. You love them. They're your children. They'll always be your blood. They'll always be, you know, you'll always be their dad, their mama. You always will be. They'll always be your babies. You know, I think of Chris. He's 37 years old. He's still my baby. I love them. I hug them, and I tell them I love them, and tell Jonathan I love them. I hug them. I always will. When they're old,
amen,
and I'm slightly older,
I
still hug them and tell them I love them.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Amen.
My daughters, I love them. You know, I think about that. I mean, come on, you love your kids, but God loves us more than that. And how many times we hold off talking to God because we think He's mad at us, or He's not going to help us, or He's not going to get through. He's not going to get us through this one. You know, He's not going to come through us this time. I think we've just done too much and gone too far. Oh, come on. What kind of picture you got of God? He's better than the best daddy you ever had. I hope you had a good one. He's better than the best mama you ever had. I hope you had a good one. He's the best, better than the best daddy's ever been. Loves us more than that. See, He pities, as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him. And God's a good God. I love this. He starts out in those first five verses talking about the benefits, and then He gets down to the character of God, just what He is, who He is, and why those benefits are there. They are there because God is crazy about us. That's why they're there. He loves us. He knows our frame, He says. He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. That really we don't have enough sense to get out of the rain sometimes, but He still loves us. And if we'll pray and call out to Him, He'll help us when we mess up, and we do. And we make bad decisions, and we do. And we get in situations, don't know how we got in them. You know, you ever been there? Come on. He knows that, and He still loves us. I don't understand that. I'd give up on you a long time ago if it were me. I'd give up on me a long time ago if it were me.
Amen.
But God doesn't give up. You know, He just stays in there with you and hangs in there with you. And because he, this thing called love, see, that we just don't really understand. God is love. He's so full of love. And mercy, and he's where all love comes from. Every mama ever hugged a baby, that came from God, is where that came from. Every mama ever loved a boy, loved a girl. Every daddy ever loved a son, loved a daughter. All that love, all those moments, those gushy moments sometimes you watch a show or a TV or whatever, you know, and you just tear up thinking, oh, you know, chick flicks is what I call them. And everybody's tearing up. Listen, that all that came from God.
Yeah.
Love comes from God.
Right.
And don't you just love when people get back together on TV, on show or whatever, you know, or a book or whatever, and people repent and families come back together and they make it work. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, we always want that while we're watching it or while we're reading the book or whatever. We're hoping they'll get it worked out. We're hoping somebody will forgive and get over that thing and they get their lives back together. Well, you know what? God always wants to get back with us. Always. And he never has to repent of anything because he's never wrong. So it's always us. He's always the father waiting for the prodigal son to come home. He's always at the end of that road looking, waiting. Maybe one day you'll turn around, but his arms are open. He's waiting. Come on, I'm waiting for you. I'm waiting. Looking every day, looking, waiting.
Amen.
If you'll just trust him, if you'll just call on him. I don't know what you're going through, but he's got hope and he's got help and he's got an answer. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what you need. I don't know what promise you need to stand on. But God, you don't have to con him into doing anything here. He loves you. He already wants to do it. He already wants to heal you. He already loves you more than you love yourself. And he wants you healed more than you want to heal yourself. And he wants you prosper more than you want to prosper. And he wants you to have joy more than you want to come out of that depression. He wants it more than you want it. Come on. You're not conning him or begging him. You're just receiving what he already wants you to have. So come and call on him. He's your father. Come running to daddy. See, that's what he's saying here. He's merciful. My goodness, he's gracious. He's abounds in mercy. He hadn't dealt with us according to our sins. He's cast those sins away. Hallelujah. And he pities us like a father pities his children. He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. We're pretty fragile, really, when you think about it. Doesn't take a whole lot just to blow our world apart, doesn't it? You ever notice that? I mean, you can be rocking on there and just happy as can be, and one little piece of bad news comes and it just ruins your day.
That's true.
And you're just a shell of a man or a woman. How quick that changes. But see, God wants to help us at times like this. God wants to give us some constancy. God wants us to get through those tough times. He wants to prepare a table for us in the presence of our enemies. Psalms 23 says. Because he's just that kind of God. Now, if you want to get beat over the head, you're going to have to go to somebody else because that's not the kind of God he is.
That's good.
If you want somebody to hate you and beat you and lock you in the closet, I hope that didn't happen to you. I hope you didn't have that kind of parent. But God's sure not that kind of parent. And if you're wanting to hear that kind of teaching, you sure came to the wrong church.
That's right. Amen.
Are you with me? Because I want you to know God loves you. Now, you need to repent of sin. You don't need sin. But if you repent of it, it's over and I don't hold it against you. And God sure doesn't. Your future is bright, so bright you've got to wear shades. Got a bright future in God. I tell you, the best is yet to come. I can't wait to see what's coming around the corner. I'm telling you, I want to serve God, and I want to stay straight and stay holy because I just want to see what God's got in store.
Amen.
I know it's something better. I know he's going to do more here at International Outreach Church. I know he's going to do a little more in my life, my family. God's blessed us and blessed my marriage and blessed my family, but I can't wait to see what he does next year and the next year and the next year if Jesus tarries. And if Jesus comes, even so, come Lord Jesus. That'd be fine too. We'll just go up tonight. That'll be all right with me. Woo! Hallelujah. But know this and get this straight. I'm going to just wrap this up here with that 14th verse. That God, just by his very nature and character, we've seen these benefits in the first five verses. By his very nature and character, he does these things because that's the way God is.
Yes.
You know, I was thinking about Reggie today and during that funeral and talking about what a good man Reggie was. Reggie is and still in heaven alive. He didn't die. He just left here, went to heaven. But while he was here, you know, he was just a pure soul, just a real honest, a real dependable, loyal guy, you know, and a good friend, trustworthy always. You could always depend on Reggie, you know. And just kind and holy. Loved that. Always loved that about Reggie. But, you know, God is always that way. God never has a bad day. Never does. And you can always call on him. You can always trust him. He's always going to be loyal to you. He's always going to help you if you truly come to him with your whole heart. He really will. Because that's just God. That's what he is. And we talk about people being good people, and Reggie was a good man. But let me tell you something. God is a good God.
Amen.
And he's good all the way through.
Right.
You say, well, does he have an agenda? He really does. He has an agenda, and it is to make you the best you can be. We fall short of that because we don't believe, we don't trust. But his agenda, his will, his desire, what he's doing, he's got something going on behind the scenes, you know. He's got ulterior motives, no doubt about it. And it is to make you the best you can be because he loves you.
Yes, sir.
He wants you to be blessed. He really does. And it pays to serve him. All he wants you to do is trust him and love him. And those are the things that we deal with. I guess those are the two major things that we have to work on, is our love for God and our trust of God. But if you love God enough, you'll start trusting him.
Yes, sir. Amen.
There's a difference. Because there's people I love I don't trust. There's people you love you don't trust. You love them, you don't trust them. And sometimes we love God, not trust God. I know Christians that love God. They really do love God, but they don't trust God. They don't know God enough to trust him. They think he may be doing this, maybe doing that. Because they don't know him enough, they don't really know how to trust him. They love him, they do. Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
But see, God doesn't want us to just love him. He wants us to trust him.
Amen.
And that's why he says all these things, so we know the kind of God he is. That we love him and we trust him.
Amen.
Praise God.